Hi, good morning, Greenwich, Connecticut. This is Healthy Hillary. And this morning, I'm really happy to have psychologist and author Dale Atkins on the radio. We've had her on talking about the Kindness Advantage book. Hi, Dale. How are you?
Hi, Hillary. I'm fine. I'm so happy to hear from you and talk to your audience. This is great.
I know.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm really excited about it because, you know, you're a great guest and so knowledgeable. And you wrote a book with Amanda Salzhauer. You and Amanda wrote it together, right? This is the book is called The Kindness Advantage, Raising Compassionate, Connected Children, Everyday Ideas for Raising Kids Who Care. And I love that. So we've talked about the book in the past, but it's all about being kind and ways to be kind. And especially right now in the world that we're in, it's really important that we all practice kindness, right?
It's so true. And at the holidays, what better time to really think about kindness to yourself and kindness to others? And, you know, these holidays are different, but it doesn't mean that they can't be filled with kindness and kind of thinking creatively to do things that are going to be different, and try to also use whatever rituals you're used to and try and keep them if you can or adapt them. And I think that's what's really wonderful. When you think through a lens of kindness and you look through a lens of kindness, you get creative and there's all kinds of possibilities. And the other thing is that it really makes us feel better.
Yes.
You know, our brain chemistry changes when we do acts of kindness. And I know we spoke about this before, but I always like to remind people that, you know, one of the reasons that everybody watches the Hallmark Channel at Christmas time and the holiday time is because they feel good. The stories are uplifting. And when you even watch something that is happy and kind and filled with empathy, we get something called moral elation. You know, we feel like we want to do something good for somebody. We want to do something kind.
Yes.
When you see a kind act in person or, like, read about it. So this is really a time to maximize that because it's, you know, we're celebrating, you know, many faith traditions are celebrating now, and it's a good time to really think about kindness.
Yes, it's a great time. And, you know, let's talk about how do you raise kids that are, you know, other-centered? You know, I think that's really important. Some of your ideas in your book are awesome. I don't want to give them away, but, you know, doing something for the community, maybe like, you know, this week I'm going to have, you know, we're going to get, you know, we're not going to get rid of, but we're going to try to get all the stuffed animals in our house and maybe find another home for them. But have the...
Oh, yes. I think it's a great idea. And to that point, I do want to pick up on what you intuitively felt when you said it's not really getting rid of. You're offering something that hopefully is in good shape, and this is where the kids can really get involved. I think what's important is that the way they loved a stuffed animal, the way they felt cuddled and comforted by a toy or a stuffed animal, you know, maybe, you know, you wash them together and you wrap them, and then they say, and this is going to go and give another child that kind of comfort. So it isn't just tossing out that which you no longer need. It's offering something that gave you a really great feeling. It's like when you give old clothes.
Yeah.
You know, you try not to give something that's really horrible or in bad shape. You say, I really love this outfit. I remember when I wore it. And now someone else will have an opportunity to feel good in it, too. And I think when we try to help children understand that when we have something that we've used and enjoyed, we can prepare it in a way that someone else can feel it's special and new. So that's one way. And I think when you talk about, you know, working in the community, there's so many things. Even, you know, with your mask on and keeping distance, there's so many things that we can do. We can deliver gifts to people and leave them on their doorstep. We can deliver food.
Yes.
We can still be collecting food because heaven knows there are so many people who need it, and get to the shelter and maybe write a note in it where we might not normally, you know, wishing you health for the holidays, or hope you enjoy this. This is my favorite food. Things that reach out and make children aware of the other person, that there is a person on the other end of this.
Yes.
And when we raise kids to be kind, we do it by example. And we also do it by being kind to them. So they're not only watching us be role models, but we're doing things like really accepting them and encouraging them, mm-hmm. and practicing helping them understand what kindness is all about. And, you know, just to review, and we're not giving it all away, I think what we're doing, hopefully, is encouraging people to think about kindness in this way. We kind of think that there are these fundamentals, and we all need them. Mm-hmm. And there's acceptance, so that you accept yourself with all of our flaws, right?
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that we don't try to do things better or learn more, but we are accepting of who we are, which also means we have to watch that critical voice in our head, right? We want to have a more positive and supportive voice, that we're committed to something or to some people, that we're connected. Kids really, really, particularly now with so much social media and so many kids on devices, mm-hmm. they think they're connected. They're not connected in a way that when you and I are talking about connection, where you look in somebody's eyes or you put your arm around them and or you're really listening and you're not looking at your phone, mm-hmm. a real connection to another human being and their experience. What's their story? Wonderful thing to do with children is to share stories and to tell them stories about their family, about grandma, grandpa, about why they came to this country, about what they used to do and what they did now, mm-hmm. what they ate at lunch in school when they went to school a long time ago, stories so that they get a picture and feel connected within their family and to others, that they had to develop empathy so they feel what another person's experience is like, and you give them opportunities to give, you know, like who's feeding the dog every night? Is it one of the kids? Probably it's a good idea, so they know that's their responsibility. That they're interested in things and people and they're curious and they're nurturing and they get nurturing. And then I think what's really important about teaching children about kindness and nurturing kindness is to really help them observe, to mm-hmm. notice things, to not just whiz by, but to really notice, gee, look at that. Look at how that man is walking. What do you think? Do you think that maybe his back hurts? Mm-hmm. To really observe. Or to look at how that kid is enjoying that bike. I'll bet that's her first bike or something like mm-hmm. that. And then to question, how come things are the way they are? How did this happen? And parents don't have to know all the answers. But to really help children find answers is really good. And then I think one of the most important ones is just encourage your kids to be themselves. With all the things that are sometimes a little bit annoying, mm-hmm. Look for what we're all talking about now is the silver lining.
Yes.
You know, this kid talks so much. Boy, this kid talks about such interesting things, and there are so many kernels, right?
Yeah, that's so true.
Or this kid is just loves to paint, and sometimes it's a mess, but boy, I think there's a budding artist in there. And let them be themselves and encourage them, because what most of us need is encouragement and acceptance and appreciation. So I think really that's the way we nurture kindness. And kindness is in all of us. It's just a muscle that has to be exercised, mm-hmm. like resilience. You know, how do we get resilient? By doing things over and over again that help us believe in ourselves, learn new skills, try and fail and try again. And I think these are really important skills. And then I would also ask that when parents are with kids, they try their hardest not to be on their devices. Mm-hmm. So that they really are giving the message that my time with you is very precious. And if you do have to be on your device, you know, you just own it and say, you know, I'm waiting for this call from Dad, and I don't want you to think I'm not listening. I am. I'm just going to be checking the phone from time to time.
Yes.
So that there is this environment of consideration and respect.
Yes. And they have grandparents that do not want those devices anywhere near a restaurant, and, you know, put it away.
Yeah, I think the parents' role in that place mm-hmm. is to really talk about that beforehand and empathy. You know, grandma and grandpa really feel that when you're on your devices, you're not really paying attention. They don't have a lot of time with you. We don't have a lot of time together. And it really is better if we can put our devices down and just really pay attention. Unfortunately, the devices can be very addictive, not just to kids.
Yeah.
So what's really important and very hard is to have time when kids can have devices and time when they can't, and for us as well, for adults as well. But if somebody really says, I really want you not to have your device, then we can try and honor that.
Yeah, totally.
Because it's respectful of that relationship. And I think what's important is to talk about it and to acknowledge that the kids have feelings that that's not comfortable for them and they don't like it and what are they going to do and what are they going to talk about and say, yep, all that's true. It will be uncomfortable for you. But this is something that we're doing for Grandma and Grandpa so that your relationship with them can be enhanced.
Yes. And, you know, it's funny, when the kids were a little younger, we would have, a you know, an iPad and this and that because, you know, more for the grandparents so we could focus on them, you know.
Right.
But we're, you know, we are learning, you know, I mean, to, as a family, just put it away because it's really important.
I think it's a good idea. I know probably when you were younger and certainly when I was younger, you know, I would always have coloring, you know, books or color paper or mm-hmm. crayons that I just have in my purse and bring them out, or have paper for kids to draw.
Yeah.
Or we'd play word games and everybody would do it, or just little games that would keep us together at the table while we were waiting for the food. And I think that's really much more engaging, and grandparents like that too.
Yeah, totally.
And then the kids can draw, or they can write a story, or they can, you know, write down all the things they see in the room that are green. I think that trying to understand that there's different types of engagement that do not have anything to do with devices is really useful.
Yes.
It's also helpful when kids don't have screen time. And I'm all for the magnificence of devices, but I'm also all for recognizing how addictive they are mm-hmm. and that kids need other sources of creative stimulation and engagement.
You know, one of the things we did over the last year was like voice lessons on the like Zoom lessons, which were kind of fun. And that I feel like helps their creative, you know, my daughter loves to sing. So this voice academy, we did some lessons and it was live and she, not live, but live
yeah.
via computer. And it, you know, it just helped to get that creativity out, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know of some kids who are learning to play instruments online, and adults as well. And others are taking art lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I think that it's really amazing. I mean, I'm taking a bird class. And then when I go for my walks, I bring my binoculars and I'm looking for, you know, birds that I've seen. And I think when you integrate the kinds of things you can learn, I think it's great. The issue for me mostly is social media mm-hmm. and how it can really cause particularly young children to feel much more isolated. And again, it can contribute to depression
mm-hmm.
because so often it's about comparison. And it's also about unkind behavior by kids online towards one or two target kids. And that kind of influence of social media and kindness and lack thereof is something that really disturbed Amanda and me when we were writing the book.
Yeah.
Social media, we didn't really talk about it that much in the book because it kept changing and it kept evolving. And what it was when we started and what it is now, so different. But what's important is to understand that all of these devices, all of these platforms can be used for good.
Yes.
I mean, there are so many volunteer programs that you can get involved in online. There, you know, and it's amazing. You, and all of these kids who are starting programs and collecting bottle caps or whatever they're doing
mm-hmm.
is so inspirational. So there's, you know, the positive and the negative. And I think families just need to be as engaged as possible in nurturing these aspects in their children so that they really do feel connected within their community, whether it's a faith community, a neighborhood, a school community, a family community, whatever it is, to not feel as if the world revolves around them.
Yes, it's so important. I'm so thankful that the kids are younger and that we haven't gotten to the social media older thing where you just described. I'm just thanking God that they're little, because that next phase seems a little, it's, you know, something I'm probably going to steer them away from completely, so that they're not.
You know,
on
it's
it.
Hard, Hillary. It's hard because, you know, kids are using their devices in school, mm-hmm. and there's a lot that goes on regarding school and regarding, you know, social groups. But I think now, as opposed to, you know, 10 years ago, there's so much more very important research that has come up about the effects of not only the amount of screen time, but the quality of what kids are exposed to and what it contributes. And again, you know, this business of, oh my goodness, I have, you know, like 200 friends and 200 likes, this is not real friendship the way mm-hmm. you and I would think about friendship. It's a way to stay connected, but again, what is connection? And what we're talking about in the book is really feeling for this other person. You know, you wouldn't be bullying online or offline, right?
Yes.
But yet it's much easier to be the anonymous bullier. And it's much easier to join a group that has a negative impulse. So one of the things that we're really hoping, particularly now around the holidays, with so many opportunities to bring joy, so many opportunities to reach out to people who are alone and who can't get out to see their family, you know, in a church community, in a synagogue community, in a community, the neighbors, you know, who hasn't been out? Who could use some home-baked cookies with a note? Mm-hmm. Who could use some carolers outside?
I was just going to say carolers. You know, that's something you could do at any time and stand out, you know, 20 feet from the driveway.
Exactly. And I think that what's important is that people are recognized and remembered and that they feel they're valuable.
Yes.
So many people are alone. So many older people are staying in and living alone. And their neighbors may be able to celebrate with their families or not. But let's not forget them. And this is a wonderful thing for children. Children can write cards, personal cards, and put them in the mailbox of their neighbors.
Yeah, that's adorable. That's a great
idea. So there's countless things to do. And I think there's always an opportunity to perform an act of kindness. Always. And when, you know, if we slow down a little, which is always interesting to say around the holidays that everybody's rushing, mm-hmm. but if we slow down a little, if we take a breath, children, I think, also need to be reminded, what are they grateful for? Mm-hmm. This is a time when a lot of kids are thinking, well, we're not doing this, we can't do that, we didn't do this. But wait a minute, what are we able to do? What are we grateful for? How can we really maximize what we have the opportunity to do? Maybe we'll bake together, but we wouldn't normally do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll dress up the dog for the holidays.
Yeah, my daughter would be all over that. She'd love to put little outfits on Honey and Dash for the holidays.
There you go. As long as Honey and Dash are fine with it. And then they can take pictures. And then,
exactly.
And then one thing leads to another.
Yeah.
And then you make a little book. And then you share that book with your friends,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that there's 10 activities out of one activity.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can write a story. And it could be a sequence book for a little kid, you know. First we decided what we were going to dress the dogs in, and then we had to get the dogs because they didn't want to sit still, and on and on and on. And then you send that to the grandmother.
Yes, she would love that.
And she would love that. And your kids had a different activity, and it was all around the holiday. And believe me, this holiday is going to be remembered for a lot of reasons. Why not add to the positive, hopeful parts
yes.
that your kids will remember, right?
They really want to go to Florida.
So, you know what?
So, you know, we've tabled that for a little while. So we're going to see what happens and then maybe go to Florida. But, you know.
And I think what's important is to hear what everybody wants
mm-hmm.
and say, yeah, you know, I can really understand it. Boy, it sure would be good to be lying on that beach right now, right? In the cold. And wouldn't it be fun? And maybe you talk about all the things that you did in Florida and you write a list of all the things you did and the things you'd like to do for when you go to Florida. Because one of the things about going through a challenging time is keeping hope and optimism.
Yes.
And when you have goals, you can do that.
Totally.
And what are the things that we'll bring when we get to go? And we may not get to go this year, but we can still remember it. We can still talk about it. We can still, you know, we can still look at the pictures of when we went and, you know, sat on the beach and watched the sunset. Because memories are very, very important as you try to connect children with kindness within them. You know, what was it about those trips that really resonated with you? What are the fun stories? And then when they say, oh, but I wish we could go now. Yep, me too. But we're not able to now. And hopefully we will, you know, in a few months or next year or whatever. But I think what happens is in so many families, they shut the conversation down because, nope, we can't do it.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. What about if we thought about it? That could bring great joy. It may bring some sadness, right?
Right. Or you could just go and follow protocol, right? A lot of people are doing that, coming back and,
yeah, I think,
you know,
what you're raising is probably the most important part of this conversation, mm-hmm. to tell you the truth. When we talk about kindness to yourself. What other people are doing is right for them, maybe, mm-hmm. but we can't feel peer pressure. We have to look inside and say, what is right for me? What is right for my family? I see everybody else doing this, but I'm not sure. I have to listen to me. And it may be that you'll go, and it may be that you'll do everything right, and that will be your choice. But do it because it's right for you and your family.
Exactly. But there's so many things to do here. We in the last year, you know, there's bike rides outside. There's being outside. There's walking outside. There's meeting friends outside. There's, you know, dining outside with all these great restaurants they have in Greenwich. I mean, we went to all, you know, we sit outside and they have the nice heaters, which is really nice. I mean, even if it's cold, you can sit outside and have a hot chocolate with the heater. So
I think, again, you know, you're raising, there's so many things that are appropriate. And by the way, for those people who aren't able to go out to a place because they're just not ready,
yeah,
perhaps they can have, you know, they bundle up and they meet a friend, as you say, and they take a walk, or they get in their car and they go to Todd's Point and they put all the windows down and they just sit in the car with the heat on and they look at the water, or they take a 10-minute outdoors and then they come in the car and then they go, or even if you're not sharing a car, in two different cars. I think this is all about adaptation and being grateful for what you have. It's very important because you can get flooded with what isn't.
Yes.
And I think what's really important is also to look at other people in history who had challenging times. How did they get through? This is a time to read inspirational stories, for children especially, about heroes of late and their own families. You know, I mentioned before how important it is to know your family's story and other people's stories, but I always like to ask people, how did you get through this time?
Mm-hmm.
How did you manage this? And then people think and they tell you things that you might not have known. And then you get strength from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important for children, to have inspiring stories of people they know and don't know. Who are their heroes? Who are their role models? And to go back to what you were saying, so, you know, maybe you're lucky enough to be able to have, you know, thermal underwear and thick boots and a nice hat, and you're able to be outdoors and just enjoy.
Yes.
And yes, there's lots to do here, and there are books to read and games to play and, you know, and lots to do. And I think that that's really important. The other thing that I think is important for children is, as they approach their school holidays, that they really take time to acknowledge their teachers. And the teachers have done so much this year.
Yes, they have.
And they've adapted in so many ways. And they've had to get up to speed with all of this technology in ways that many of them had no knowledge before, and, you know, they were doing hybrid and in-person and not, and all of this. And I think for children, often guided by their parents, perhaps not, to really write a thoughtful message to their teachers about their appreciation would be an incredible act of kindness.
Yes, I think that's totally true. Sydney said last night, my daughter wrote Christmas cards for everybody.
Last night.
And brought a big bag in for that. She wrote everybody, every person.
How lovely that she thought that each person should receive something that was acknowledging the holiday and that she did it herself.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the kinds of acts of kindness that when we encourage them in our children when they're young, they just grow because what happens is it becomes a part of us.
Yes.
So that, you know, you think, well, what's the kind thing to do? And do it. Always ask yourself, what would be the kind thing to do here? You know, am I going to blow my horn at the person who is waiting at the light, or am I going to breathe and be patient?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Am I going to let this person go in front of me, or am I going to, you know, floor it? I mean, why not?
Yes.
Why not? Because each person is going through something, and we don't know what it is, and we each are going through something. But one of the most effective ways to help yourself get out of a funk is to do something nice for somebody else.
Totally. Get yourself out of yourself, right?
Get yourself out of yourself, right. I love that.
Yes. And I think it's really important, too, to take a look at all that, what you mentioned with electronics and connecting more and connecting with others and, you know, joining, even if it's a virtual singing group, you know, or, you know, something where you Zoom with your grandparents or you Zoom with people you haven't seen. I know my daughter's FaceTimed with her cousin in Florida a lot. And, you know, there's a lot of things you can do to have that connection.
Absolutely wonderful. Tonight, we will be lighting candles with our children and grandchildren in two different states. And we'll be doing that, and it will be lovely. Will it be what it usually is? Of course not. But it will be lovely because given the parameters, we will be together.
Yes.
And you don't have to get through, you know, you don't have to deal with politics. You don't have to deal with anything. Just to deal with being together in a form that is respectful and where you appreciate. And I think that that's something that, if there are lots of things that can be kept at the end of this period. And one of them could be how families have reconnected through Zoom, right?
Yes, and this has been great. We are talking with Dale. I'm talking with Dale Atkins, author of The Kindness Advantage and psychologist. And you've been listening to Dale Atkins on The Healthy Hillary Show on 1490 WGCH.